How is everybody good? I'm wondering when I'm going to have to start wearing glasses. I noticed it last night. Like last night, there was some fights on and stuff. And I have now driving glasses for the evening. And she kind of said to me, she said, "Andrew," she said, "you know what? Your eyes are really good for your age and everything." I went, "What do you mean by that?" And then she hurt my feelings. And she said, "No, I'm telling you that your eyes are really good." And I said, "Okay, that's great." And she says, "But I just want to show you something." And of course, you know how it's always dim in there. And she's saying, "Look at that chart." She says, "You look at that chart." She says, "Read that bottom line." And I went, "K V MB." And she goes, "You sure?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "Now look at this." And she went like they do. And she went, "Read that." I went, "Oh, it's 1, 2, 3, 4." And she said, "I just wanted to show you." She says, "Your eyes are really good." She says, "But at night," she says, "do you find it a little harder to see?" And I said, "Well," I said, "the signs and stuff. I said, I'm a little more cautious. I don't drive the bike as much at night anymore because I feel like my peripheral vision. I think it's just because it's dark." And she says, "No, when your eyes get tired," she says, you need glasses." She says, "I would suggest glasses." And so anyway, we're watching the fight the other night. And I'm going, and Jack just looks over and he hands me his glasses, and I'm going, "Oh, he's ranked number 4. And I go, "Something is really bad." So anyway, I'm getting older, and we all are, and I just want you to know that I'm doing it graciously. Anyway, last week I had a message, guys, that I called Say Something. And it was one of those times when we went into 1 Thessalonians. We were looking at Paul, who was speaking to new converts, and I really felt like we're not quite done there. What I wanted to do today, like last week we talked about this idea of love, but I want to talk about the practical ways that we can love. Like, how in the world are we going to show that difference to a world? So I want to read it again in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 to 10. It says this: "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering and the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." And again, if you missed last week's message and you want to go back and listen to it on the podcast, it's there. Paul, again, is talking to these new converts, right? These are converts from his missionary journeys. And he's encouraging them and he's saying, "You know what? You guys are doing a great job. That's awesome." He's saying, "I'm praying for you all the time." And that's a great news, right? And he's saying, "You are different. You're living by faith." And we asked last week, what does that mean, right? This idea of loving everyone around them with a deep conviction. He was saying, "You look like Jesus." And last week we talked about that. Now, are we known for love as a church? Yes, but we got a little personal, right? Are you known as an individual for loving? And I hope that you are, right? Because that's how you're different. If you are known as a loving person, you're different than most in this world because you're living a life of faith. And people will notice that, right? The whole region was talking about the difference that they saw in this early church. And you know what? It was beautiful, but Paul is saying, "Thank you for saying something. Thank you for being different." Why? Because it's saving lives. And so today I wanted to be practical about this. Like, what does this mean to us all of these years later? Does Paul's words still apply to us today? Well, of course they do. But specifically, how do they impact us in 2024? In addition to loving people, right? Why in the world would we be loving people? I want to talk about this. Well, you know what? They had hope. And that hope to everyone else became a light, right? They had a new power in their life. What was that? It was the Holy Spirit. And Paul says it was a Holy Spirit filled with conviction, right? that they were imitating Jesus in the midst of severe suffering, but they displayed what in the suffering? They displayed some joy. And so I kind of want to look at those three things that, you know what, make us different, that is our testimony, right? Like, I didn't realize Allison was going to, in fact, the rain, when we were singing the rain, I was going, wow, like, this is 1 Thessalonians right here as we're singing it. And then she was talking about our mess becoming the message, and I'm going, that's what Paul was saying to the Thessalonians, right? Like, let's talk about hope. Does our world need hope today? Oh, my land, yes, right? If you go to church, you get weird questions like the eclipse that happened last week. Like, again, like everybody, this has got to be it. This is the end. We're going to be raptured. Are people going to be raptured? And so people were calling me up, people that don't talk to me, they don't come to the church. They're like, Andrew, is this it? And I'm going, what are you talking about? Is this the end? And I'm going, well, it'd be kind of cool. But I'm going, no, this is when the moon passes in front of the sun, right? And people were panicking, and I was going, you know what? I mean, it would be really cool. So I'm sitting there going, Lord, like, there's so many people scared of the coming apocalypse. I said, I'm just going to bring the dogs inside, right? And so I was sitting at home because I didn't want them to panic, and they were so panicked, they were snoring, right? Like, I was going, oh, man. And so then I was sitting there in the midst, and I was going, Jesus, it would be really cool if you freaked everybody out and just came back right now. Like, that would be good, right? And I was going, I was thinking in this moment how panicked people were that didn't have a hope in the Lord. And I get it because of what I do, but this has been happening over a whole bunch of months that have turned into years, right? Like, with the pandemic and everything else. And so I've had people all the time like, they're making us take a vaccine, Andrew. Is this the end? And I'm going, well, it's just a public health suggestion, right? They're shutting down the world. The governments are working together. Is this the end? And I'm kind of going, guys, if we had an understanding, and the church should, that our hope isn't in governments or vaccines or coming eclipses. You know, and then war started, like the war. Some people really got messed up when Russia and Ukraine started to fight. Well, whoo, that was nothing. Because a year and a little bit later, then all of a sudden Israel starts to fight. Everybody go, oh, Andrew, is this the end? I said, well, this is a war. But all of these things are the beginning of birth pains. And you know what? We're told, like, So do we panic? No. Why? Because that's end time stuff, and we have a hope, and we know what happens in the end. And so I'm sitting there going, wow, people really are messed up over the eclipse. And the panic in the world today is not the panic that we have in the church, I hope. Why? Because our hope is beyond all of those things. Billy Graham said this. He said, for the believers, there is a hope beyond the grave because Jesus has opened the door to heaven. And I said, what a beautiful way to put that. Well, everybody's panicking. Here's the war. Is this the end? Here's the mandates. Is this the end? Oh, it's getting dark outside. Is this the end? And I'm kind of going, why in the world are people panicking? What a beautiful thing to have hope in Jesus. And you and I are to be that hope. Why? Because we have that hope. 1 John 5:13-14. I was thinking about this stuff as the eclipse was happening, right? And so John says this. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that we have eternal life. What more do we need, right? This is the confidence we have. In approaching God, think about the awesome honor that you can approach God Almighty, church. And if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's our God. Should we worry? No. 1 Peter 1:3-6. Praise be to the God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish. It can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power. Think of that image. You're shielded by God himself, by his power, until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. We have a hope. Why? Because we have promises. Like, if you start to think about the times that God has come through and all of the times that he has kept his promises to you, like, we could pass the mic around and through tears and shouts, we would testify that his promises are true. His promises are true. Ephesians 2:10, for it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. You don't have to worry about your works because your works will never be enough, right? Not by works, he says, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared or advanced for us to do. That you've already been saved, that scripture tells us. You've been saved. What do you have to worry about? No, we don't worry. We have hope. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 18. Therefore, do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, every day renewed. For your light, this light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory. What does it do? It far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We have hope, church. We've always had hope. And because we have this hope, think about this. When the world is panicking, we don't. We check on the dogs. And they're so concerned they're sleeping. Are there wars breaking out? Yes. What do? Come, Lord Jesus, come. Right? When governments are shutting down and people are losing jobs, we go, yep, I see that. Come, Lord Jesus. Even today, let it be today. And people look at you and they'll say, you know what? Why in the world are you so different? You're different. And our answer is, yes, I am. Why? Because we have a hope that's beyond this world. How beautiful is your testimony. And every day, simply by living by faith, you can testify to the world the hope that you have. And it's not just a hope that's empty. Think about this. He says there's a power that comes with that hope. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Access to a living God. Every moment, every step, every thought, every decision, you're to keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Right? Walking with him. Right? And what happens? All good things happen when you walk with God. Right? Like think of that, right? You could look at all the stories in the Bible. When you walk with God, giants fall. Right? We just sang about it. When you walk with God, he gives you plans for a boat, even though you're in a desert, right? And then you're some glad that you build the boat, right? And you start thinking, when we walk with God, all good things happen, right? Galatians 5, 22, 23. Think about this. Here's the Holy Spirit's fruit in you. You are filled with love, if you choose. You're filled with joy. You're filled with peace, patience, kindness, if you choose. Goodness, if you choose. Gentleness and self-control. What are those? Those are the fruits of the Spirit. That's what you have available to you every day. That can be you. That can be me. Through his power, that's the way we can live. Again, Romans 8:14, that you're led by the Spirit. I don't want you to miss this. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. And Paul says, you know what? You're living by the Spirit and you're turning from the idols. And everybody is noticing. Why are you turning from the idols? Because you no longer want the counterfeits. Why? Because walking in the Spirit, good things happen. Who is the Spirit? Right? And we've been over this. He's your guide. He has ultimate power. He's a miracle giver. He's a way maker. He's a counselor like no other. He gives wisdom to believers. All they need to do is ask and wait upon him. And on and on and on we could go with the benefits of the Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis, I love his writing, but he said this. He said, if we let him, speaking of the Holy Spirit, if we let him, for we can prevent him, if we choose, he will make the feeblest and filthy of us into a dazzling, radiant, immortal creature, pulsating all through with energy and joy and wisdom and love as we cannot now imagine, a bright, stainless mirror which reflects back to God perfectly, though, of course, on a smaller scale, his own boundless power and delight and goodness. And he's yours. How smart was C.S. Lewis? Woo! Right? Like, think about this. You and me, we're filthy and we're gross, but we can be made dazzling and radiant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever been called dazzling. That's one of my new goals. Bucket list. Somebody call me dazzling. I'm going to try to, maybe I'll bedazzle things. I don't know. Made dazzling and radiant. Think about this. You and me, again, think about this. Feeble and fickle, right? We become immortal. Pulsating with energy, joy, wisdom, and love. You and I, right? And we don't feel worthy of it. You and I. Think about it, being reflections of the Father's goodness. How incredible is the Holy Spirit? How necessary is the Holy Spirit? Right? Greg's not here today. I was thinking of him this week because he's been sick, so I've been praying for him and Joanne and Brian and Jeannie. And anyway, one of Greg's favorite quotes, and he never remembers it, so he always goes, Andrew, what's my favorite quote? Like, he remembers who wrote an obscure song nobody's ever heard about that was only played on a regional radio station in 1962. I could tell you all the... But Andrew, what's my favorite quote? And I'm going, it's obviously not your favorite quote. He goes, you know what I mean. But his favorite quote is, every day preach the gospel, when necessary, use words. What does that mean? It means that your life is different and your life is going to shine. And if you are walking in step with the Spirit, God Almighty will take what's filthy and make it dazzling. You will be different. And you know what? The world needs you to be different. Because the world is scared of all the powers that are raging around them, and the world does not have hope, so the world needs you to be different. And when you're different, people around you start changing. They start changing, Paul says, right? Why? Because that's the difference an almighty God makes. They see you and they see you're different. And here's what happens. They can't dismiss something that you show. What do you show? You show joy. In every circumstance, you show joy. When you walk in step with the Spirit and Jesus is your hope because he's coming again, so you have power that is not your own, which is eternal. What? Right? A hope that is sure. And they see in you joy, no matter your circumstances. Because no matter what you face, you already know who you belong to and who holds you in his hand and who is bigger than God. Who's bigger than God? Again, and I've said this before because we went over a whole series, like how in the world, how do you sneak attack God? You can't. Like, God has no vulnerability and he is the strong tower in which you run to and you live in step with the Spirit. What can harm you? Like, go read the book of Romans. It'll blow your mind. Like, Romans 8 especially, right? But this one, verse 31, all you know this. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for you, who can be against you? If God is for you, church, who can be against you? On the worst day, the world would fear their death. But that's not our worst day. Because we don't fear death. That's our victory. That's our victory. The day they fear is our victory. Philippians 1:21, right? Like Paul, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The message says it this way. Alive, I'm his messenger. Dead, I'm his bounty. Life or life, I can't lose. That's yours. How incredible is the joy that we can live because the world around us is not our home. You know, church, all we have is something better that awaits. And I don't know about you, but like, I love this journey. Like, I'm not saying it isn't filled with struggles and challenges. And man, if you guys knew the hours that I spent praying because of the problems that come across my desk in my life, and I pray, and I love that. So don't ever feel like you're being a burden. I get excited because then there's never a downtime. You guys know my brain doesn't like downtimes. It doesn't know what to do with downtimes. I don't have many downtimes because I always have some things to lift to the Lord. But I lift it to the Lord because there's no better hands for all of those problems to be. And alive, I'm going to be his messenger. And dead, I'm going to be his bounty. And you know what? Life for even more life. We don't have to focus on our problems. And that's why Paul says, you know what? People are turning from their idols because in your pain, in your struggle, you're still captivated by the God who rescues you. And you know that the best is yet to come. Church. The best is yet to come. Hopeful. Why? Because every day we have the Holy Spirit, that power to lead us, to sustain us, to get us through. And so what do we face? It doesn't matter. We face it with joy. Why? You win. Period. You win. You've already been promised forever. God holds you in his hand. And he tells you that even on your worst day, the best is yet to come. Are you kidding me? How beautiful is your testimony? And you know what? The world needs you. The world right now needs the church to live a life that is different, to show them hope, to show them the power of a living God in the person of the Holy Spirit, and to display joy regardless of the circumstance. Andrew, could this be the end? I'll tell you what, the moon is going to pass in front of the sun, that's for sure. But make no mistake, we're living in the end times. And you know what? I'm not just okay with that. I'm ecstatic about that because the best is yet to come. Bow your heads. Paul says that God makes a difference. In church, I want to tell you today, the world needs that right now. And every day, you have an option to be the difference. To walk around with that silly grin of hope, that when you're faced with crisis, you just pray because that's the power available to you. And then there's joy. There's joy when everyone else around you is panicking. You're going, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Every day, you can be different. Oh, that the church would be different. Father God, I just come to you today knowing that, yeah, we're a mess. We're feeble and we're fickle and all those things that C.S. Lewis kind of reminded us of, Lord, that there's times where we fall short. And yet you have the ability to make us into something dazzling for the world to see. Something radiant. Pulsating with energy and joy and wisdom. Being bright, right? This reflection of God the Father. Lord, I pray that we, the church, would live different in these days. You take the mess that we were and make us the message. Thank you for your hope. Thank you for your power. And thank you for your joy. In Jesus' name, amen.